Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Time now for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as usual, a quick recap of how we started. Well, Singapore shares opened in the green this morning, eking out a gain despite subdued performance in global markets. So in early trade, the Straits Times Index was up 0.1% to 3,180 points after some 38 million securities changed hands in the broader market. Closing numbers are still firming up, but here's what I have on my screen right now. The Straits Times Index is further in the green, up 1.41%. We are looking at 3,221 points. In terms of value turnover, that's 1.3 billion Sing dollars. Gainers outnumbered losers, 363 versus 235. Top five movers by value, we've gone to DBS, UOB, Seatrium, OCBC, and Yangtze Jiang Shipbuilding Sing dollars. Heavily traded securities, Seatrium, Genting Singapore, and ThaiBev. Now, in terms of companies to watch, we do have DBS. The bank has put up for sale a portfolio of 46 HDB shop and shophouse units and private strata retail units with a total guide price of about 210 million Sing dollars. Now, elsewhere, from a look ahead to the latest earnings season, both in Singapore and the US, to Tencent Holdings staging their biggest rally since February, we've got more corporate headlines for you. Joining me on the line, as always, is David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. Mr. Kuo, welcome.
Hello, good evening, Ken. How are you? And how is Elliot? I bet he's feeling very well at the moment, given how Man United performed yesterday.
Relieved.
Really? Well, I'm definitely not relieved. We lost to your neighbours, Man City. Can't believe that.
Well, talk about relief. I'm slightly relieved looking at the numbers for the STI today. And let's start with that. Right. How did the Straits Times Index fare, Mr. Kuo, today? It appears that worries over the situation in the Middle East has somewhat subsided. Are we seeing that filter down to the STI looking at, what, 1.41% increase? Are eyes on the US PC numbers next?
I think in general, I would say you are right, Tian Tian. Yeah, I think the market as a whole has probably sort of got over the shock. And one of the features of stock markets, Tian Tian, is shoot first and ask questions later. And of course, you know, with what happened geopolitically, investors just got a little bit jittery. They sold off and then they've gone back into the market today. But what is actually quite striking today is that down at the bottom of the SEI are some real estate investment trusts, some REITs. And we've got Ascendas, which will be reporting numbers after the close of business today. We've got CICT, and we've also got Mapletree Logistics. And those three are at the bottom of the table, which seems to suggest to me that maybe the market thinks that interest rates have definitely not quite peaked yet, and that there could be bad news for landlords, such as real estate investment trusts.
Right, I see. Now, in the meantime, Mr. Kuo, let's zoom in on some companies to watch. DBS down some 6% today. The bank has put up for sale a portfolio of 46 HDB shop and shophouse units and private strata retail units. Total guide price, we're looking at the magic number here, 210 million Sing dollars. At the same time, I believe it provided 100 million Sing dollars in green loan facility to ComfortDelGro. But that being said, when we look at counter movements, what else is weighing on the counter?
Well, I think we've got a bonus issue coming up very shortly. So there'll be a kind of, I wouldn't say it was a stock split, but essentially what will happen is that for every 10 shares that investors hold in DBS, they'll be getting one extra share. So maybe this is something ahead of the bonus issue that will be coming out this week. I mean, this was part of the dividends that investors are going to be reaping as a result of the bumper profits that DBS reported. That's number one. I don't think, you know, there's a great deal to worry about as far as DBS is concerned. I mean, there are some concerns that maybe interest rates are going to be heading lower, so therefore that would put some pressure on the interest rate margin for the banks. But I don't think we really have a great deal to worry about there. As far as the shop houses are concerned, well, what a good time to sell. I think maybe DBS thinks that the property market is peaking at the moment, and this will be a good time to offload some properties. And as far as the loans to ComfortDelGro, Definitely a step in the right direction. We do need probably more incentives in terms of carbon reduction. I mean, just look at the temperature here today in Singapore. It's not good. And just as an aside, my son was in Dubai last week, mm-hmm. and he got caught in that heavy rainstorm that was in yeah. Dubai. Flooded out the entire country. So I think we need to be very aware of what's going on in terms of global climate.
Mr. Kuo, let's take a look at Wilmar International, an agribusiness group, but not talking about climate over here, but the fact that it had yesterday confirmed media reports that its 80% owned subsidiary's tank terminal facility had been hit by a missile last Friday. Now, Wilmar estimated it would take about 6 months to rebuild the destroyed oil tanks, but the incident will not have a material impact on financial performance for FY 2024. How far has that weighed on investor sentiment, and how significant is this for Wilmar, really?
At the moment, not a great deal, Tian. But I tell you what, I mean, I didn't even realize that they had a facility in Ukraine. And when you hear stories like this, it just goes to show that we need to go through our portfolios very carefully and have a look at what kind of geopolitical exposures our investment tax. And who would have thought that a company like Wilmar would have a facility like that over there that mm. could be impacted by something that is going on thousands of miles away from where we are at the moment. So it just goes to show that geopolitical issues can have an impact. But thankfully, I mean, Wilmar is a big company, and as they quite rightly say, it will have no material impact on the performance in 2024. But having said that, people do need to be very aware of what is happening on a geopolitical front.
Right. And let's take a look at one more company here in Singapore, Mr. Kuo, and that is Shunxiong. Its investors are asking the firm for more details on its capital allocation priorities, and that is over concerns that finances were not used as efficiently as possible. Isn't it a happy problem for Shunxiong? And when we look at the earnings season here in Singapore kicking off this week, how do you think it will shape up?
Well, the thing is, I mean, investors always like to pick holes in what management is doing. I think in the case of Shunxiong, if you're invested in that company, you have to trust the management to do the right things at the right time. Yeah, by all means. I mean, use that money and expand and go and do some mergers and acquisitions. But there is a danger in that, which is that quite often you see companies. I mean, let's take a supermarket. You open one supermarket along somewhere like Bukit Timah Road, and then you open another one, and it cannibalizes the sales of the first one. So I think Shunxiong doesn't want to be in that position, and so it wants to be very careful and very selective about what it does with the money. I would be more worried if they spent the money, wasted it, and then I'd be going back and asking management why they wasted my money. And so I think in this particular case, just trust them to do the right thing. They're in charge of the business. If you don't like it, then get out, yeah? But mm-hmm. apart from that, just trust the management to use the money carefully.
Mm. In terms of the broad earnings season this time round, how do you think it will shape up?
I think it's going to look reasonably strong. I think it really depends on which kind of companies you're looking at. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're looking at Shunxiong, I mean, they're in the right place at the right time. I mean, something like consumer staples are always going to do well. As far as the Singapore market is concerned, I'm a little bit concerned about those real estate investment trusts. I just think, how is high interest rates going to be impacting them? And how are they going to be able to navigate a high interest rate environment? That is going to be very difficult. And I think that goes for anybody that is borrowing money. And we know that real estate investment trusts are a big component of the SDI. And if they are borrowing money, let's just hope that they have locked in some decent interest rates for a reasonable rate of time, so that it'll give them at least some kind of chance for interest rates to have peaked and start coming back down again when they need to renew those loans again.
I see. If you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. Now, Mr. Kuo, let's take a look at what's happening in the region. Tencent Holdings shares staged their best rally since February after the firm nailed down an earlier than anticipated debut of one of the year's most eagerly awaited mobile phones. Your thoughts, really?
Well, I'm not a big gaming fan myself, but I understand that people have been waiting for a long time for this new the new game Dungeons and Dragons to come out. It has been delayed somewhat by the Chinese authorities that have clamped down on the launching of new games. But it will be very important to a company like Tencent, which is not really surprising when they have looked at the share price and see how well that has performed as a result of this piece of news. But the danger, of course, again, is we know that the Chinese authorities are very concerned about what is happening to Chinese shares at the moment.
Yep.
And maybe they're just bending over backwards in order to try and sort of appease some of these companies. But having said that, the Chinese government can change its mind at the drop of a hat. So what could be good news today could turn out to be bad news in a few weeks' time.
I see. And Mr. Kuo, we must talk about cars today. A couple of news coming up. Tesla cutting prices in China, Germany and around the world. Speaking of China, you've got Chinese brand Chery Automobile set to set up a plant in Thailand. Again, the age-old question we've been asking on the segment, for how long can that bloodbath in the EV industry really continue?
I think it is a race to the bottom, just to see who can produce the cheapest cars. I mean, I'm on record as saying that I'm very concerned about the hype surrounding the electric vehicles. One of the problems with EVs is the rate at which the prices can decline. What we tend to forget sometimes when we go out and buy something as highly priced as a car is that there is a hidden cost in that, and that hidden cost is depreciation. Mm-hmm. And we only have to have a look at the electronic equipment that we have at home. You buy a TV set for $1,000, and you think, oh, what a great TV set it is. And then about 3 years later, something new comes along. In fact, you don't even have to wait 3 years. 1 year later, a new model comes along, and your existing model, nobody even wants it anymore, because they say it's not a smart TV or it's not a TV that's the latest. And I think that is going to be the problem with electric vehicles. So anybody that's buying an EV, if you plan to buy it and run it into the ground over 5 or 10 years, that's fine. But if you think that it is going to hold its value, I think the answer is you're probably dreaming.
Again, the crystal ball question over here, right? Assuming that the bloodbath is over in the next, let's say, 5 or 10 years, who do you think will be the market leader and what role will Tesla play then?
It looks pretty much. I think if history is any guide, and I think this goes for the automobile industry, when Japan came onto the market and they started launching their Japanese vehicles, I mean, at first people were making jokes about Japanese vehicles not being as good as, say, German or American cars or even British cars. But look where Japanese cars are today. And I think the same thing is going to happen to the EV space. I don't think Europe or America is in a position to compete with the Chinese EV manufacturers. So maybe China is going to replace Japan as being the car producer of the world, and we'll all just be going around, driving around in Chinese-made cars, because they may not have the first-mover advantage as Tesla had, but it's certainly catching up very quickly.
I see. And finally, before we let you go, Mr. Kuo, the U.S. earnings season underway. We've got a number of big names reporting, in particular the tech titans, your Microsoft, Alphabet, Meta. And outside of tech, we've got your favorite PepsiCo as well as Tesla. What are you expecting on this front?
I think the results are going to be good. But the question is, are they going to be good enough? Mm-hmm. I think the market has very high expectations. And as we've seen, you know, over the recent days, recent weeks, the share price of some of these tech titans have come down quite significantly. And part of the reason, I think, is because they just want to know if this artificial intelligence, this AI hype, is going to live up to their own expectations, really. And if it doesn't, then I think the market is going to be very disappointed. I think if you have a look at something like PepsiCo, I'm surprised you actually threw PepsiCo in together with all the Magnificent Seven. It's a completely different company altogether. We look at PepsiCo, and the last set of results, the last set of quarterly results were not that great. Earnings were fine, but as far as the revenue was concerned, that disappointed slightly. And I think that was because of the pricing pressure that they had put on consumers. And consumers just decided that they weren't really going to be paying that kind of money for PepsiCo. So I think the results are still going to be okay. I think consumers are going to work out that, prices aren't going to come down, and they're just going to have to live with higher prices for some of these sort of consumer staples. But as far as the tech is concerned, I am very concerned. They could be really good numbers, but they may not be good enough. That is the issue that I have.
I mean, over Friday, I think Supermicro Computer was down 23% on the fact that we will not pre-release some figures, right? And that dragged down NVIDIA as well. How concerning do you think that is?
I think it is concerning. Kitten, well, one of the things that I have a problem with is when I watch many of the interviews from many CEOs, and I'm not talking about the tech companies, I'm talking about CEOs in other businesses, they all turn around to me, well, not to me personally, but, you know, to the audience, and they say that, oh, you know, we've been using AI for the last 2 or 3 years. I didn't even realize it was around 2 or 3 years ago. Now, if these companies are already implementing AI in their operations, what are we talking about today when these companies are saying, you know, they're launching AI? It's already been around for 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
And so, therefore, what is new, right? What are these companies going to be able to tell us that hasn't already happened in the last 2 or 3 years? So if AI has been around that long and companies have been benefiting from AI, there's going to be nothing new when these companies report the results coming out. And so that, I think, is going to be a slight concern for people because AI is nothing new.
Yeah, I do agree with you in the sense that there seems to be, to a layman, a lack of clarity as to what AI means or generative AI means for the consumer journey beyond just, you know, chatbots. Once again, thanks a lot for the insights, Mr. Kuo, as always. David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor, thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.